UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, he's plugging his headphones in. I just got blue cheese all over the microphone. It's the V Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Bob Valvano in the studio. Got a great show lined up for you. We're efforting a little bit of fantasy football talk coming up at 1240. Neil Greenberg. Hopefully we can wrangle him up from the WAPO, Washington Post. He's a good guest. He had Joe Bartle on Locke's show, The Midday Rush, from RotoWire, giving us some good fantasy feedback. You plugged in there? Sorry. I'm smacking because it is a Wing Zone Thursday here at the ESPN Louisville Studios, and unfortunately, I definitely got blue cheese all over my microphone.
Okay.
Because
I don't think my mic's on. There it is.
No, there it is. Well, no, you got to talk into it. We've had this discussion.
Ooh, a Weisenheimer there.
I'm being a Weisenheimer.
Do we have any guests today? Did you book any guests today? Just get them.
Were you
walk?
Listening?
I didn't have that.
No, okay. Well, I was in the process of doing it. Neil okay. Greenberg.
We're Neil efforting. Greenberg.
We're always efforting Jameson Hensley.
Okay.
But we're also efforting Neil Greenberg today to talk some fantasy football. Laura Overton. It is a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Wing Zone Thursday.
She doesn't have anything to do with the Wings.
No, she has a lot to do with the Colts, though.
Here's my cable. Dang it. Sorry.
And she's going to join us at 2:05.
Oh, that's quality.
And then hopefully, I think our boy Perrin Johnson is going to join in studio from 1 to 2 and do a little football talk. And we'll have some sound to play. We have Barry McKnight, Troy's play-by-play guy. He was on The Take with Andy Sweeney yesterday. He's seen that Sawyer Smith fella quite a few times. Probably, I venture to guess, more than all of us here combined.
Sure. You know why? Because he describes the games.
He does. And have you heard his voice?
No. Has he got the dulcet tones like of the guy at
Paul Keels?
Paul Keels. That's the first guy everybody thinks of.
Paul Keels has that deep
MVP,
voice.
MVP, most valuable pipes.
Yeah, I'd say yeah. He's forever the GOAT. But this guy, first off, his name is Barry McKnight.
Okay.
He just sounds like a fictional character that is in media. You know, like a news guy, Barry McKnight here, or, okay. I mean, does
I'll
he not?
That. I'll buy that.
Right? And then his voice is very velvety and chocolatey.
Okay.
Almost sounds like a stereotypical announcer would in a movie or something like that. So we have a little bit of that sound. We have a little bit of Randy Lee, the play-by-play voice for the Tops. He was on the drive yesterday
Randy
with Mark
Lee.
Mark Ennis. Hopefully he'll join us tomorrow on Fast Break Friday. We'll see.
Maybe.
But we have a whole lot of play-by-play
whole
tomorrow.
Lot of shaking going on.
Mike Pratt just basically saying, hey, Nick, I heard you were a producer, right? Well, let me show you a little thing or two
about producing.
Gets Mick Hubert, play-by-play voice for the Gators. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my. Mr. Oh, my himself. And then Tom Leach will be joining
us. Leach.
So, yeah, that's on Fast Break Friday tomorrow. So there are guests, Dad.
That's tomorrow.
I did do my there's Lara. And there's Perrin.
Lara always
and
comes
hopefully
on.
Neil Greenberg.
You can't get rid of Perrin. He's in here all the time. So I'm just saying.
Well, I just unmuted the phone. New York Mike was calling. Huh. So, but I wasn't able to get to it. Literally, I unmute the phone and then finally answer. I think he's been calling for a while because I saw a bunch of missed calls on there.
Yeah.
If the phone is muted, I'm sorry, callers. I don't hear it.
Nick, you don't have to. We've been through this. You don't have to. You're
yes,
not a switchboard operator.
The people want to speak.
You don't have to answer every single phone call that comes in. You're the only producer that does that, except for Moon, who liked to do it just to yell at people. That was different.
Brian talks to people, too, and he's beloved.
I don't know what this is.
Kind of.
I'm trying to figure out my pills here.
I really... Sometimes you just... I know I do this, and I say something that completely throws you for a loop.
Yeah.
That's something that throws me for a loop.
Well, because
I don't know how to respond.
I don't know what this tablet is for.
I don't know if I'm supposed to give a five-minute you know, sports take.
No, because you see, here's the deal. The bocce tournament is Monday.
Right.
And it's a few days before, and I am scrambling like a maniac trying to get all the components put in place. No matter how much people say, well, you know, you got to help, blah, blah, blah. The fact is... It comes down mostly to me, so I'm still doing most of it. And so I was running around today because we have unbelievable gift bags put in this thing.
Yeah, these things are pretty sweet.
And I think we're missing five things. The company either didn't send me the right amount, or I don't know where they could be, so I was hunting all over for them before I decided to call the company and say, hey, you need five more of these things. So that's the first order of business. The second is... Because it's the castle, we're getting unbelievable response, but there's a lot of people who are saying, I really want to come, but I don't have a whole team, so I've got a lot of fragmented teams, so that's fine. It's a fun event. I'm trying to stress out over it, but the point is, you still don't want people to show up and look like you're completely a Chinese fire drill, as they used to say years ago. You want to look like you're some semblance of organization. We continue to get great commitments from celebs. My broadcast partner, Paul Rogers, is going to show, which we're excited about. Tom Leach is already going to be there from the UK side. And we just got word yesterday Dan Issel is playing. We got more Hall of Famers playing in this bocce tournament.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
I mean, Dampier's playing, and of course Pratt is playing, and now we got Dan Issel playing, and Chris Redman's going to be there. And by the way, you need to make sure to follow up with Chris. You really got to give me a little help here. I know you. I'm not yelling at you because poor Nick worked a 15-hour day yesterday.
Yeah, so, I feel bad. You appointed me the head of this thing, and then Magic threw up the stone cold middle fingers and left everybody, and then we needed a producer for Midday Rush.
I don't think he really did that. I think very respectfully he said, "I'm leaving," and then he left.
It was a relatively Irish goodbye, though. He lived up to his last name. He did.
What's an Irish goodbye? You just go?
Yeah, you just leave without really saying. No pomp and circumstance. I mean, Jason had, like, you know, a long 3-plus-hour theatrical performance. Oh, much well-deserved. I cried like 9 times listening to it. It even got Andy to be emotional. It was wonderful. But what? Magic was just kind of like, it was real, guys. I got to go home for various reasons. I love you all.
When did he do this?
Leave. Magic?
That was the day he left?
Yeah, pretty much.
I never heard it. Well, he probably didn't want to
include me. He didn't do it on the air.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It was behind the scenes. Like, Nux, love you guys, bye.
Yeah.
Like, so it was, you know, it wasn't.
This is good. This is a good pill to take.
Also, we don't have J.D. Shelburne, who will be performing in the hometown Rising.
Did you ever find out from B. Still, is he coming or not?
Be still, baby. He's going to be there.
Okay, good.
Now, the song, unfortunately, is Aw, Nah, Hell No, which would kind of indicate that he's
not coming. Right.
But he is.
Very good. We're excited about that, so that's nice. Hell yes. This is not hell no. This is hell yes.
You should yell that every time they say that.
Hell yes.
Come on. I love that song.
I kind of like this.
He's
transcending generations.
This was on the Madden 2003 music list. It was this song. I think Andrew WK's Party Hard, Good Charlotte's The Anthem. Hands down, without a doubt, my favorite Madden soundtrack list.
Very good. So he'll be there as well.
Very exciting.
It is Monday. A couple of things you need to know. There's some great, there's not very many items, but there are going to be items on our auction site up hopefully as soon as tomorrow, maybe Saturday. It's open to the public. You don't have to come to the event to bid, but there are great things. There's an overnight stay at French Lick Resort where you can play two rooms and then 4 rounds of golf at the Donald Ross course. That is a fantastic item. That is, I don't even know what that's worth. That's got to be probably close to $1,000 or $800 anyway. That'll be on there. I'm loving, you probably have to bid against me, although it's, you know, I certainly welcome anybody because we're trying to raise money. It's the floating cabin down there on Green River, which is spectacular. It's just, you got to see these things. If you haven't seen them, go check them out online. And there'll be some pictures on the when we have them up at the website at KFOV.org. So that's open. We got some less expensive things, too. There's some golf-covered bridge. There's a set of bobbleheads. Speaking of that, timing is everything. Today I'm going to the storage unit, running around trying to do this stuff for the bocce tournament. And I pass by Hardee's on Westport Road. And hey, what's going on here? At that exact moment, the Hardee's star, the mascot guy, about eight other people, a bunch of workers, and Buddy Bat are standing in front of the door with a giant piece of red tape, and the lady in the middle's got one of those giant scissors. And she has it around. She's literally, that's the moment she's going to cut it. It's around the tape. I go by just as she's getting ready to do the snip thing and cut it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, I got to ask Buddy if he's going to play in the bocce tournament. Unfortunately, he had to tell me via pantomime that he can't.
What about the Hardee's star?
I didn't ask him. I hadn't thought about that. I should have. I hadn't thought about asking the Hardee's star to play. Because Buddy won a few years ago.
He was good, yeah.
He was very good. But they're giving away prizes. They said, you want to spin our wheel? So I spun the wheel and won a Buddy Bat bobblehead, which I surprisingly did not have in our collection. So he's been added to the room. Now, that's a good morning.
Hey,
when just by chance you go by.
Wait, I thought that was a Buddy Bat gnome.
It's a Buddy Bat as a gnome. He's not a bobblehead, is he?
No, he should go in the garden.
No, I'll put him. He can sit with the guys. He can hang.
We got a couple gnomes in the garden.
I know. So they can. They have their gnome thing. Well, I already put him on my shelf. He looks good on the shelf.
Right.
So there you go.
I'm a big fan of gnomes.
Yeah, the garden gnomes are nice. Yeah, it was a gnome. You're right. I thought it was a bobble because it's the same size box.
Because he had a beard and stuff.
Yeah, he was gnomey.
Hanging with my gnomies. By the way, can I play a soundbite that Locke actually was going to play?
Does he want me to have it? It may not be my soundbite.
No. Well, he was going to play it during Wheel of Sports. But it was
you guys are doing Wheel of Sports again. Good.
But and other things. But it was on this day in history.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, stuff that is going on today in history that we'll get to, including, I want to get your thoughts on that whole Justify
Yeah, I haven't read enough
thing.
About it yet. I got to read
it. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on that. And that will definitely play some Barry McKnight sound as well as Randy Lee previewing this weekend's football games. We've got to talk about Sam Darnold getting the mono. Because, of course, I mean, it couldn't be. I'd be more satisfied with, a fracture. I don't want anyone to get hurt or anything. But the fact it's mono, that just hurts a little bit more. That's very Jets-esque to be out indefinitely. You have no idea.
Segment I was going to do later.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get into that. But this soundbite, I think you definitely want to take a listen to. Minnie Minoso
is in the news. Why? He's passed.
May you rest in peace. But on this day in history, I don't know when, I forgot, but he got a Major League Baseball hit at 50.
I remember that.
Yeah. And he might have been 53 because they don't really have accurate records, I guess, about
his. A lot of the players lied because they were afraid they wouldn't get signed here if they were too old.
Right. Take a listen. Harry Carey.
That is a line single to left. Holy cow. Listen to the crowd. To left. And look at Minnie down there at first base.
That's got to bring tears to the eyes of some old-timers, if not Minoso himself.
I'm so mad I'm looking and I don't have it evidently on. So mad I didn't keep it. He did it on my show. The Robert Klein bit on Minnie Minoso.
Oh, the how he led has the major league record
for being hit by pitch.
Right.
That is one of the funniest bits I've ever heard in my life.
Did he just do that on the fly?
I'm sure it was part of his act, but I was familiar with a lot of his act, but I'd never heard him do that before. That was hilarious. Minnie's head was in the strike zone, okay? So when the teammates said, Minnie, catch a good one. They weren't talking about with his bat. It's a very, very funny
bit. Love that. Hey,
caramba. I got up. the man could swing it, though. He could swing it. Minnie Minoso. All right, what I want to get to at the beginning here was something else, and I cannot remember what it is now. Oh, I know. Well, I wasn't going to do it at the beginning, but I had something else lined up here. Typically, I'll remember it a little bit later. Something you alluded to already. The Justify thing I want to get to it a little bit as well. But
I might want to go to Darren Rogers' Twitter feed. He just
tweeted
some stuff about it. Let's see here. I'm reading here. This is from Derby Media, our friend Darren Rogers. Statement from at Churchill Downs. Quote, until media reports surfaced Wednesday night, neither Churchill Downs nor the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission had knowledge of any potential positive tests that may have emanated from California in advance of the 2018 Kentucky Derby. We do know that, sorry, I'm reading this out of a text message.
That's fine.
Andy passed it along. Good looking out, Andy. Thank you. We do know that all pre- and post-race results from 2018 Kentucky Derby participants came back clean, including Justify. Every time it keeps closing, I apologize. In advance of our race each year, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission conducts pre-race out-of-competition testing for every Kentucky Derby starter, and all starters' results were clean. And the fourth tweet from Darren Rogers, after the Kentucky Derby, the top finishers are tested for a myriad of banned substances, and the results for all were clean. Quote, this is coming from Kevin Flannery, Churchill Downs racetrack president. The full statement can be seen at Derby Media on Twitter. They have the little HTML link. I think that's
so. The question remains, I think, if it was some sort of a drug thing before the Derby, but he raced clean and won the Triple Crown clean, what do you do with that information? Because it's very difficult to make the Triple Crown races. You could argue that, maybe, you know, he wouldn't have made it. So the whole thing would be a moot point. But as for the achievement itself, if he did it and he did it and he was drug-free, how much does it tarnish it, if that's what it comes down to? I mean, that, in other words, you've got to earn your way into the field. There's whatever the 10,000 foals every year, and there's 20 that make it to the Derby. So the odds are stacked against you no matter how good you may be. If he cheated, quote-unquote, along the line just to get into the field, and I don't know how much that benefits his training and everything else, and then you just cut it off so he then passes the test, what does that say? And what does that say about the perceived rampant drug use in California? I mean, there's a lot of things that don't get answered just by that, although it certainly is a lot better than if they said, well, yeah, we found out it was, you know, some sort of a clerical error, and in fact, the horse was, you know, was drugged out of his mind the whole time, and, you know, that's a different story. But I believe that the testing was done after the Derby. I don't believe they're making that up. I believe the horse tested clean. I think that's fair to say. Best of my knowledge, Baffert never had another, you know, he's won a whole bunch of Triple Crown races, and I don't think any of the other horses tested positive. But I think they're going to have to get their heads around and their minds around what really they're doing about the drug situation. Because what was the name of the other horse? Remember the horse here that his trainer was, he won the Derby. Was it Big Brown? It was Big Brown, wasn't it? Wasn't Big Brown's trainer accused of all sorts of rampant drug stuff? I mean, forgive me for not being the Derby historian I should be, but I know there was a recent winner, when I say recent, within the last decade, that there was all sorts of, as Paul Simon sang, what's the line from that song about there was, you know, rumors and what, you know, whatever that line is. Here, I'm going to quote the line that I forgot what it is. But, you know, there was all sorts of hints and allegations. There you go. That's the line. Hints and allegations. So, you know, I don't know for a fact what to make of that. But it's disappointing, to say the least. That was one of the great feel-good stories in racing. And now we don't know. At least there's another question mark on it. It's very, very, you know, you always look at things, and it's one of those things, if you're like me, and I celebrate the fact that there's an incredible ability of humans and animals, I guess, for achievements that are unprecedented, that we want to celebrate when we see that. Wow, nobody's ever done that before. Isn't that terrific? But then when you look at somebody who's done something that seemingly is so far out of the statistical norm, it's very difficult nowadays to not think that something sketchy must have been going on. Look at baseball's home run records when all those guys were going through 61 home runs like it was, you know, a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit sign. They were just flying right through it. And we find out the whole league was drugged up. Then you look at Lance Armstrong. And, you know, and he never did anything, never did anything, never did anything. And then you find out he's doing everything, same way everybody else was. Now, you could say, well, if they were all doing it, that still makes him the best racer. But the fact is, the achievements that are so extraordinary were not as extraordinary as they might be because all those wins were done with artificial enhancement. The home runs were artificially enhanced. His winning all those years of the Tour de France were artificially enhanced. You look at this this unbelievable feel-good achievement, and you have to wonder, was it artificially enhanced? And you know, nobody had won the Triple Crown since the 1970s. So, I mean, you could say, but American Pharoah, there's no suspicions about him. Okay, well, that's great. But the fact of the matter is, you just have to wonder when something seems as unlikely to have happened. It's a sad state of affairs. The first thought has to be, how can we be totally sure that this is on the level? So anyway, there's that. Hail Naw is a very underrated song, the texter says. Okay?
I agree. I like it.
I enjoyed it. Let's see. That's got nothing to do with me. That was Lock Show. Why are we talking British accents on Lock Shows? I was busy scrambling around so I didn't get to hear it.
Let me
absolutely assassinate this jackass. Way to prep. Hadn't read up on the Justify story. Jeez. You know what, jackass? Come with me tomorrow morning, okay? When we're up at 7 and we're trying to get celebrities and we're trying to get information and we're trying to get, I'm on the phone with the castle. I'm trying to raise money for cancer research. What the hell did you do with your morning? Okay, spithead? You know what? Shove it up your nose. Go listen somewhere else. Do me a favor.
Easy there.
No. Seriously.
Not worth it.
You know what? Yeah, it was not a typical day, okay? I got 120 people coming to the castle for an event that we've never done before, and it's to raise money for cancer research. I want those people to walk out of there and say, we value your input, we valued your donations, and we are going to value your money to make sure that the money is going to places where it's going to fight cancer. That's what I did this morning, okay? So, yes, I saw the Justify story, and I didn't get to read it. There's the complete. I never lie to you, so I'm not lying to you. I did not read it yet, okay? So, that's the reality. That really pisses me off. Could you be more lazy? Yeah, I'd love to see. Like, let's compare mornings, okay, Jack Squad? Pain in the ass. It's people are, the world. You know what? I'm convinced Mark Twain's right. God invented man only because he was disappointed with the ape. Really. You want to say, you know, you're disappointed? Hey, I'm not lazy. You should be prepared. That's fine. Don't call me lazy, Jack Squad. Unbelievable. This morning. The morning I'm going through.
I do have a 20-second delay. I'm just saying, if you want to cuss out. I got you,
fam. I might.
I got you, buddy.
Stupid jackass. Unbelievable. So, and you know what? And whether I read the story or not, the take on the drug part of it is still the same. It's still absolutely a valid point about achievements in sports. When Babe Ruth hit 61 home runs, I'm going to guess. I know I'm old, but I wasn't around back then. I'm going to guess when he was hitting more home runs than the entire American League, I'm going to guess the discussion was, hey, by golly, say, do you think that George Herman is doing illegal substances? No, you just celebrated. That's why he became larger than life. There was an innocence to it. Unless you believe beer and hot dogs, I guess, and sadly, sexually transmitted diseases might be, you know, somehow beneficial to hitting home runs. You know, but other than that, that was the point. Now you're hard pressed to ever see somebody do something that's way off the statistical curve without immediately wondering, must have been something untoward going on there. So the website address for the event, by the way, thank you, is kfov.org. kfov.org. And you'll find the auction items up there over the weekend. Please bid on them. I'm sorry to be so proud of this, but in a way I'm not. Our first year, we are the Kentuckiana Friends of V, our own 501c3. We're still on very good terms with the V Foundation, but at their suggestion, and one we wholeheartedly agreed with, they said, why don't you start your own organization so that you can control more of the money locally instead of just raising it at North Carolina, which is great, but there's people always want to, and we still do support the scientists that they're funding because they have unbelievable research scientists doing some great work, but we wanted to be able to, we could give some of the money locally, and we didn't have the leverage to do that because while James Graham Brown does some wonderful work and they have some programs that we are proud to support, they are not the one a designated hospital in the state of Kentucky that you can send money to through the V Foundation's guidelines. There's one designated hospital in each state. That's the, and I think it's called NCI, National Cancer Institute Designated Hospital. I think that's the right phraseology. And it's the Markey Center in Lexington, which we're, by the way, happy to be helping as well. We're sending money there also. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of the people here in Louisville saying, where's the money going? We wanted to be able to say, it's making a difference here as well. So this is what we're doing. So we're giving money to the James Graham Brown Cancer Center here in Louisville, giving money to the Markey Center in Lexington. We're helping fund this tremendous, tremendous research that the scientist is doing at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. It's the kind of cancer that took the life of Andy Kettler and his wife's Kim's son, which is still very sad. I can't talk too much about that. I get choked up about that story. And this woman is doing incredible work there. She's on the cusp of being able to bring the treatment to clinical trial, which is very exciting. We're giving money to Dick Vitale's pediatric cancer research. He never, ever tires of trying to raise money, and we're delighted to help him. And we're giving money to the V Foundation itself, V Foundation proper, if you will, to fund the scientists they're doing. That's a lot of stuff for 1 year, for the first year of an organization. So you'll have to forgive me if that's, for one morning, was a little bit more of a priority than reading about Justify. Like, guilty as charged. So they can't let your personal life outside work impact your productivity. It's not my personal life. It's as much of my work as this is. And they know it here, and they're supportive of it here. And it was one morning, and I'm not apologizing for it. So that's the way it goes. One of the things that happened last night, which is very cool, is the New York Mets scored 9 runs on 11 hits. Did you see that? On 9/11, on a day where Pete Alonso bought all of his teammates special cleats commemorating the 9/11, and they had a very touching ceremony before the game. It was just a very, very moving night. It's certainly an emotional night for the whole country, but it is a particularly emotional night in New York. There's no question about that. When they remember the that dreadful night all those years ago, and after all of that, at the end of the game, the Mets win 9-0, and they have 9 runs on 11 hits. 9/11. On 9/11, I mean, I don't know if you're. It's a coincidence. Sure, there's no question. You can make that case, but for some people who like to believe that sometimes there's a little bit of divine intervention, it was actually really very cool. And you know, from a practical standpoint, as a fan, as you know, I'm not in the mood yet to sing it, but we'll sing it later. Only if I kid you, because the Cubs lost again last night. And I know it's football season, and we're talking football. We're all fired up about college football, and we got your football right. Here's your football. But I also have to tell you, it's pretty entertaining to watch what's going on in that National League. If you like baseball, and I do, and don't apologize for that either, those of you who like it know this is what the whole season's about. It's a long, long journey, and then you get to the drama of these last couple of weeks when the games mean something, and if your team is involved in that, and the more teams that – that's one of the reasons the NFL is so entertaining. You go back to the last two weekends of the NFL season, and almost inevitably there are you got to read those stories where you're like, you almost can't make sense of them. Okay, if the Jets win and the Titans win and the 49ers tie and this team, then that team's in and that team's out. But everybody has a chance. You feel like they're playing meaningful games. Well, last night, because the Mets won, they overtook the Diamondbacks, and now the National League wild card is as wild as it has ever been, with basically 15 games to go. That's not a lot left in the baseball season. The Brewers and the Cubs are tied for the second wild card spot. Washington's pretty well in. They're 3.5 games clear. But Milwaukee and the Cubs are tied, with the Phillies and the Mets tied 2 games behind them, and Arizona 2.5 games out. That's 5 teams vying for that last spot And it was, and no more separation than 2.5. That is absolutely what baseball's all about. Very entertaining. Guy says, Nick, of course, is wandering, which is what he likes to do. I want him to enjoy the humor, but he's wandering around. He'll be back eventually. Yeah, that's how my show works. The producers leave. I got to ask, do you leave the studio? Do you leave the studio that often when you're producing Lock Show? Do you get up and leave the studio that often when you're producing Lock Show? Yes or no? I just want a yes or no. One more answer.
I'd say
no.
Probably,
the answer would be no. You never leave the studio.
It's a bit skewed. Uh-huh. It's a two-hour show. It's just three
hours. Percentage wise. So let's do the percentages.
Let's
do. Well, let me look. Well, I was good at math. 3 hour show, you leave.
I leave about
15 times. That's 5 times an hour. Lock 2 hour show, you've never left ever. That's 0%. So again, got to think the percentage is higher on my show.
A little bit, but it's not. It's not as much as you think it is.
No,
really isn't. I leave about once an hour.
Yeah, the top of the hour when they're not on the air, not while he's in the middle of talking something.
No,
I say, hey Nick, this is really fun, and empty.
It was literally gone less than a minute.
That's what I noticed. It. Guy sent a text and said, that guy sent the text earlier, have New York Mike hunt down that SOB.
I feel bad. I looked on the screen. You know, we can give the guys information. Well, no, we can't. We probably can't do that over the air. That would be illegal. I feel like that's illegal, orchestrating a hit on the air. I feel like the FCC might frown on that. Speaking of the FCC, did you hear Locke swear?
He swore.
Cursified. He said bull spit.
He said it for real?
Yeah.
And a boy, we knew he could win him over to our side.
I know. So proud of him.
That's the one scary thing is if we do a
Nate's
podcast.
In the back washing his mouth out with soap.
I don't think that's true either. That's the one thing it makes me nervous about if we do a podcast, because then you have no, you say whatever you want. And I'm not sure that's good for us to go there.
I'm not really sure. You wouldn't have to deal with texters, though, so you probably wouldn't get as pissed off. You got to think that, right?
Unbelievable. It's very, very good. Let's see. Another jackass guy who likes to jump in. We'll ignore him also. He has. You have no idea who I am, pal. And the assumptions you make about me, if you really knew, are absolutely laughable. All right, let's see.
I just always invite them down here for a t-shirt.
No, I don't want any part of this jackass. Leave me alone. I've told him that many times, but he won't. He insists on still sending me, because he probably enjoys knowing that he's annoying me. So let him have his little fun. If you've got a miserable life, that's what you take joy in. Good for you. We'll take a break.
Just happy
we'll
he's
come
listening.
Back. Well, I'm not happy he's listening. I prefer he didn't listen. I'd like him to just go away.
That'd I value fun. All our listeners. Nope. The kind ones and the asshats alike. Nope. To the break.
Done my it. First song was like 48 bars with no hooks. You hear me flipping through my pages out my favorite notebook. The microphone was in the closet. What? No headphones, we lost it. Niggas scared to get some water. Roaches hanging over the faucet. Come
on. More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Not a sadness in the world, that's all I know. I just read the whole thing. That's how long it takes to be caught up to speed. And Justify won the race in California. There's so many. You know what it does? It does what most of the time I do on the show, and that is tell you, you know, you're going to have to wait for the cake to bake. Because all we know is he failed the drug test. They didn't notify Baffert until a week before the Derby. He asked for a second test. It was confirmed. The amount of dope in his system apparently could not have gotten there by accident, so they doped him. That's what they did. The question is, why did they wait so long? I mean, there was no guarantee he was going to win the Triple Crown. They didn't know that. Why didn't they just disqualify him then, if that were the case? And, you know, and now they've changed the rule. I don't know if you saw that. For the penalty now, it used to be automatically you forfeit the purse, you forfeit the victory. Now it's a fine or something and some sort of other slap on the wrist. So the question is, what of that then? In other words, why did they? Was it a way that indicated then that the penalty was too severe? I don't think so. It sounds like if it's a performance enhancing drug, he should have been disqualified, and that was the race that qualified him for the Derby. So, yes, that's going to, that is that no matter how this plays out going forward, there's going to be a taint to that. There's no doubt. Baffert is supposed to meet the media today. He refused comment on it. Now he's going to meet the media. The experts claim this is, it's amazing with horses. It's the same as humans. Must have been something I ate. I love that. I ate something I didn't know. I thought it was a cream. I didn't know. You know, that's the, he could have gotten it from tainted food. A veterinarian said there's no way you get this from tainted food. You couldn't possibly get this much, quote unquote, contamination from tainted food. So he drugged him. He drugged him. They won. Got him in the Derby, and then he ran clean, evidently. That's what it happens. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to it's always going to be tainted. You know, that's the bottom line is it looks like there's going to be, no matter what transpires from this, the assumption that, you know, he earned his way into the Derby off a tainted race. So that's going to be this. It's said. The only thing I can think is the people who know horse racing knew this horse was something special. The people in California said, oh, my God, if we report this, he's not going to get to run in the Derby. This is going to be a tragedy for our sport. All that may be true, but you don't know and I don't know. I'm not as well versed in horse racing to authoritatively say that. Certainly not as well versed in horse racing in California. But I can tell you this, that as Tim Sullivan, he's a naysayer, he's brought it up many times. They're at the crossroads. They are at a crossroads right now in terms of the sport, and I think they're aware of it, but I don't think trying to sweep stuff under the rug is going to help them. They're going to have to take it on head on and make some sense of everything in a way people can get comfortable with the industry. This is just another black eye for a sport that is continuing to get them largely over drug use. And California is the worst, it appears. I mean, the stories out there seem terrible. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe they're just the ones that it's getting the most publicity. But when you get all those deaths to the point where they got to close the track, that's not a good thing. So I love horse racing. I hope they straighten it out. But it's certainly it's come to Jesus time for the sport. They're going to have to figure out some way to make some sense of it. We're still getting some texts from people who enjoyed our literary symposium yesterday.
Yes, the literary symposium.
So thank you.
One Antonio Brown, who goes by the pen name AB.
Yes.
That's his text message.
Nom de plume, I believe is the term.
Also,
That. Here's what I wanted to ask, and you brought this up, and I don't have an answer for it. I don't always bring up topics where I just have a hot take. Why are you making a face?
I'll tell you during the commercial break. No, this is something that I need to tell you during the commercial break.
Something Sweeney said?
No, but just something that just got brought to my attention that I will talk to you during the commercial break. No, it's nothing. It's nothing really bad.
Does it involve a lawsuit?
No.
Does it involve somebody losing their job?
Hopefully not.
Oh, dang.
No. I think we'll be okay.
You and me together?
No, me.
If you go, I go.
I don't know.
That's fair enough.
Listeners
might be hoping for them. Here's the deal.
It protects white kids. I'm sorry.
We're both babbling incoherently. Why do certain franchises cannot get out of their own way? I don't understand. I'm dead serious. I've been thinking about that all morning because the Jets got Sam Darnold with mono. This is what those kinds of franchises do. Like you said, you can get a guy injured. Not that that's something you take lightly. You'd say, oh, that's it. But mono, when's the last time you heard an NFL quarterback who's going to have to miss extended weeks because of mono? I literally can't. Maybe somebody, we got listeners, we got very smart listeners. Maybe you guys can think of some. I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anybody who's missed extended time because of mono. I really can't. I mean,
let's clarify something here.
Okay.
Let's clarify something here before, you know, we trigger somebody. And if they are hearing that, I could understand them getting triggered. We're not saying mono isn't like a real thing. I mean, you've had mono. I had the generic version of mono, CMV. It'll put you on your ass. You can't play because it enlarges your spleen. It puts you in danger, and especially in a contact sport. I know. I tried to play hockey with it. They said you can't. If you take a hit, your spleen might rupture. You could die. So it's just something you got to deal with. And not to mention the physical. It is physically draining. So we're not saying mono isn't a big deal. Mono is a big deal. But the fact that is, it's like having to like miss a game because of tonsillitis or something along those lines. It just doesn't seem to, there's just a certain type of ailment that I feel is embarrassing. It's or different. It's not embarrassing. What's the term I'm looking for here? Because it's not an ACL. It's not a fracture. It's just kind of in the realm of,
that's what I said,
the
it
bizarre.
Happens to franchises, right? Like that. And the reason I say that is, do you realize how many different people the Browns have gone through? Do you realize how many different people the Jets have gone through? Do you realize how many different people all these franchises, like the Knicks suck, but that's a bad example. The Lakers suck right now, but inevitably they get back to the top. The teams that are, you know, the Celtics went through a down period, boom, they get back to the top. The teams that are great may have a couple of lean years, but then they generally get back to the top. The teams that can't get any traction never seem to make a breakthrough, ever. The Orioles. Do you realize how many players and managers the Orioles have gone through? And they're almost unspeakably bad. How do franchises not ever get any traction? Why is it certain? The only thing I can think of is ownership.
What's the Italian saying? A pesce boots at a guy, which I'm positive I'm saying wrong, is fish smells from the head down. So typically, I mean, look at the Knicks.
Well, Dolan, the Orioles, Peter Angelos has owned them forever. And when he got on board, he talked big bravado stuff. And they actually made the playoffs a few times. He was going to take on George Steinbrenner head-to-head. They've been terrible. The Knicks, terrible. Same owner. You know, the Clippers were terrible perpetually till that owner embarrassed himself and was forced out, and now they've gotten competitive. But they're still not over the hump. They're still not. That's what I'm saying. Those teams never seem to get. It's not just basketball. It's everything.
What's considered over the hump, though? A championship or
championship contender team that goes to the finals or something? They don't even do that. I mean, strangely enough, baseball, which for years was always perpetuated by the thought that the Yankees were going to win all the time because they spent the most money, has had the most competitive balance. Maybe it's the nature of the game. I don't know. You know, a couple of hot pitchers and all of a sudden you're through. But, I mean, the White Sox were a powerful team a very short while ago. Now they're down at the bottom. The Mets, think about this, from 2015, just this season alone, the Mets were an embarrassment. And now they're playing as well as anybody in baseball all in the same season. Baseball seems to turn more quickly. The Marlins, it's understandable. They were great, and then they had fire sales, and that's been a bad franchise from a financial standpoint, even when they got good. Even when they won games, they were still a train wreck financially. So you put them aside. But, I mean, the other ones, like the White Sox, ask Bozich. They were good, and then they were not so good. The only examples I can give as exceptions to the rule, and this isn't really even a good one, is like a team like the Houston Astros. The Astros were never really that significant. They were, I mean, they played in the National League Championship Series about 30 years ago. I remember that. And I don't remember them really being on the radar much until they had a complete overhaul, built that farm system up, and now they are one of the elite teams. They've won the World Series, and they're an elite team right now. But, I mean, the Browns, as an example, just terrible. Jacksonville Jaguars, terrible. I mean, well, somebody's texting me, why don't you put the Reds in that group? I don't, that's a good question. Why can't the Reds get something going? Why can't they get
the owner, Phil Castellini?
Yeah, Paisan, I hate the question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I don't know. That's a legitimate question. Because the reason, and actually the Reds are a good team to use as an example, because I was going to use the Knicks, but the Reds are equally good in terms of, do you have any history? Yeah, the Reds are the oldest franchise out there. Do you have a fan base? They have great fans. The Reds are, the Cincinnati fans are diehard fans. The Knicks are one of the original NBA franchises, and they still sell their games out. So the thing is, there's nothing that you can put your hands on and say, well, you wonder about a team like Oklahoma City. You know, they got good, but you wonder, is that because they're in a secondary market? You know, they're not going to be able to keep stars, all of that stuff. But you talk about the Knicks. I mean, you're talking about one of the major markets. If you wanted to be truthful, you would think players would want to play in Miami. South Beach, no state income tax. But the fact of the matter is there are just the Browns, for God's sake. This, now, I don't, let the cake bake. It's 1 week. They could get awfully healthy in a hurry against the Jets this week and go 14-2. But they just don't ever seem to get any traction. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. Some guy says sounds like a good topic for a book. It says, you could write, title it, Why Do You Suck? Dolphins would have their own chapter. Maybe. And the Knicks could. Hell, they could be their own volume. I don't know. It's just, it's very, very strange that some franchises, I guess it's this, you know, you could say the same. I thought about this in college. But I don't think it's the same in college because the disparity in resources in college is still pretty great, even within the same league. You know, there's just intangible things. They're not asking, you know, the coach at Wake Forest to coach the Dream Team, for example. And you can say what you want, but you know, having Krzyzewski coaching that team, I can't imagine hurts a whole lot when it comes to recruiting. Even whether that's why you do it or not, and I don't really think that's the reason you do it. I really do believe he was at West Point, and he took very seriously about trying to represent the country. I talked to him about that, and I thought he and Jerry Colangelo did a great job there. But the fact of the matter is, there's a disparity even within leagues, let alone all of Division I. But in the pros, there's not. I mean, if you go to these places, they've got great, most of them, not all of them, but they've got good practice facilities. The players are, you know, have all the amenities. There's no real difference there. There's a salary cap. There's a salary cap in that league. And yet they just can't get going. It's very, very, it's very frustrating to be a fan of those teams. I'll say that. I mean, but I do. You know what? If I had to pick one thing, and I don't think it's simple enough to say it's just one thing, but if I had to pick one thing, I would say it's ownership, because every time you look at a team that has, like the Islanders were a dominant hockey team almost 40 years ago, 1980, around there. Okay, and they were sold, and they wound up going through. If you've not seen that 30 for 30 on the guy who had, like, didn't have two nickels to rub together and convinced them.
$12
and
in a box of donuts.
And a Dakota ring. And he managed somehow to talk him into getting ownership of the team for a short while.
He got a Mookie Wilson second edition baseball card.
And doesn't apologize for it. That's the thing. He said, they're talking to him like in prison. And he said, yeah, you know what? I made some mistakes. No, but he said, for a short while, though, I was the owner of the Islanders. I was like, well, kind of, not really, but because of that, they went through ownership that was a train wreck, and their franchise became a train wreck. They were awful for a long time. They got a new owner. He gave them a new direction, and look at this. They're on the cusp of building a beautiful new arena, and they were good last year. They were very good. They were fun to watch, and they got some exciting players. And so it's got to be ownership. That's got to be, because the Knicks, what's the common denominator? And the thing that, but even that I don't completely understand, but I got to think that's the only commonality. Dolan basically said, okay, I'm going to step aside and turn it over to my basketball people, but does he then hire the wrong basketball people? Is that what the bottom line is? Because, I mean, Phil Jackson, and I said that when they hired him. I mean, he was, you know, coming home. He's an ex-Nick. Yay. But just because the guy could coach didn't mean he was going to be a great front office guy. And obviously he was not. So maybe the owner tries to be too hands-on and then says, well, you know what? It's not working for me. And then steps completely out of it and makes the wrong choices in terms of who he gives the franchise to. You know, I don't have a great deal of respect for Isaiah's ability as a front office guy, and he just kept giving him more and more power. So maybe there is something to that. It's that they try and run it. They don't, and the fact that they must not know that much about running a front office is indicated in the fact they can't do the job. So then why would you think that they could do a good job hiring people? They would have a hard time recognizing who'd be a good person to do it. But I just wonder, if you're wealthy enough to own a team at that level, and you really are, you know, remotely interested in winning, I guess if James Dolan were here, he'd say, but I did what you are about to suggest, and that is, why not then go find somebody who's done it and say, I will open the bank vault. Come and do that for us. And he could say, well, I did that. I went and hired the winningest guy in the history of the league, but he was a coach. You didn't hire him as a coach. You hired him as a front office guy. Go find somebody who's built teams from the front office. And maybe they just don't do that. I don't know. Or maybe there's only a handful of guys that you could feel confident to say that about. I mean, look at the Red Sox, for God's sake. They won the World Series last year, and they fired the president a week ago this year. The guy didn't even get to enjoy it for one season. They couldn't wait to run his ass out of town. So I don't know. It's got to be ownership is the only thing I can think of. College, I don't think it's quite the same thing. Because while the AD has importance, tremendous importance, it goes beyond that. It goes to a lot of other things. It goes to, quite honestly, where you're located in terms of access to talent for that particular sport. It's no accident that Florida, Texas, California teams are really good in baseball, where all the baseball players play all year, or the football in Florida is outstanding. All of this, a million good Florida college teams, kids generally like to play with their parents and friends and family can see them, and they stay home, a good number of them. So there's that. That's not the case in the professional level. You got drafts and things like that. And not only that, the AD doesn't have complete autonomy. He's got to deal with a president and an athletic, probably an athletic board or a board of trustees or somebody, and not to mention his own league. Like I said, there's some things that you don't control. The guy who's, the coach at, like I said, if you're any other coach in the ACC, you don't get to coach the dream team. One guy did, and that's Mike. And if you don't think that's a factor for all these kids that are thinking about playing in the NBA, I think you're being foolish. So it's not, you could see more disparity in college. But I don't get it in the pros. To even get competitive, they can't seem to get it done. It's got to be ownership is the only thing I can think of, but I'm sure there are other factors as well. We'll take a break, top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. And we roll on here on Thursday here on ESPN 680 105.7.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.